Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. I attend at 10 o'clock here and at 5 p.m. It's great to be with you on this last day of 2017. It'd be helpful if you had your Bibles open at John 6, that way you can follow along. And if you find that sort of thing useful as well, inside the bulletin there is an outline of the sermon, so you can follow along. But before I start, let me just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, please help me to speak faithfully and clearly of your word. Please open our hearts and our minds, that we may listen and become more like you. Amen. Who have you been listening to in 2017? In a survey I saw this week, I saw that on average we Australians watch about 18 hours of TV a week. Another survey I saw showed Australians are using internet for about 19 hours a week. That's an awful lot of time we spend listening, watching and reading TV and internet, isn't it? Compare that to the church survey results that were done this year that show 53% of people do prayer or Bible reading less than once a day outside of church. It's a sharp contrast, isn't it? They're challenging statistics for us to look at. Well, in today's passage, we're going to see why we should be listening to Jesus. Now, I really like books and movies that tell and retell the same story multiple times. Now, that at first may sound a little boring, but telling the same story multiple times, with what the storyteller does, is each time they retell a story, they tell it from a different perspective or give more information to the reader, so that as you hear or see, you get to gain a greater and greater understanding of the scene and what's happening. And I'm going to do that today. We're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000 from three different perspectives, each time getting more and more information as to what is actually happening and who Jesus is. And for each perspective, we're going to look at how that perspective shaped people's lives then and how it might shape our lives and responses now. To get these different perspectives, I'm going to do something a little different this morning for my talk. I'm going to give three different first-person narratives of what happened. So, the first perspective we're going to look at is Jesus the provider. This is going to be from the perspective of one of the Galileans that have been following Jesus. So I've been following Jesus for a few days now, and it's been amazing to see what he can do. He healed my aunt a week ago. She was suffering from some sort of disease, and all Jesus had to do was touch her, and she got better. He didn't ask for money or anything. This is great. I figure if I keep following him around, as soon as I get sick, I don't need to go to the doctor. I just go up to him, and bam, I get healed. Anyway, we've been following Jesus and his disciples, and they go up this mountainside. There's a whole crowd of us following him. But then my stomach starts growling. Look, I know what you're thinking. I'm a big guy and all I think about is food. But it's not just me. The entire crowd is getting hungry. We've been following him all day and it's way past time for food. And it's not like I've got much money on me anyway. Well, you wouldn't believe it, but Jesus basically does a majorly souped up version of Israeli MasterChef. And he starts feeding the 5,000 men plus their families. Do you know how much food that would take? I reckon it would have been over 2,500 kilograms of food. That's the same weight as five horses. And I even saw his disciples picking up leftovers. Now, if I can just convince Jesus to come back to my village, he would save us so much money. That feeding of the 5,000 saved over 6 months' wages. Jesus not only heals the sick, he's also providing free food. So that's our first perspective from our story. This perspective reveals Jesus as someone who can provide, but unfortunately, that's all the people really see. These people follow Jesus because he provides things, the things that they need and want, the physical stuff. Unfortunately, they're not actually listening to him. And that's the key. They're not hearing what he says. They're just receiving the physical benefits of what they get from Jesus. Verse 2 says that they followed Jesus because they saw the signs performed, not because of the message he taught. And I think that can be a little like us today sometimes. We end up treating God or Jesus like Santa. The only time we really think about God is when we want something. We ask him for things, and that's all we do. We end up saying, God, please give me this, or please, I need that. But we don't actually listen to what he's saying to us. So as we start our new year, let's make a big effort, not just to ask things from God, though of course we're able to, but we should also spend time listening to him. So let's go to our next way of viewing Jesus. This time from the perspective of Jesus as prophet. And this is going to be from the perspective of a nationalistic Jew. So Jesus has been doing some pretty amazing miracles. And what I saw today just topped it off. Jesus and his disciples are on a mountainside when a great crowd of people come to him. And he ends up feeding thousands of people from just a few barley loaves and fish. It's amazing, isn't it? No. It's not amazing because it's free food like that large Galilean guy said. It's amazing because it reminds you of something. You don't know? Well, it reminds me of the prophet Elisha. In the second book of Kings, let me read it out to you. A man came bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over. I mean, come on. How much does that sound like what Jesus just did? It even mentions barley. Second of all, Jesus reminds me of Moses. Now, I know you might be thinking, how can Jesus remind us of the great Moses? Well, and what does he have to do with Moses? Well, do you know what time of year it is? Do you? It's Passover time. It's a time when we remember that Moses took us out of Egypt and then received the manna to feed us from heaven. And so when I see Jesus feeding us now, it reminds me of Moses. And also, do you remember what Moses said in Deuteronomy? He said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. Do you know what this means for us? Jesus is a prophet. And it means he might be the one to overthrow these horrible Romans. Forget that lousy Herod. Let's make Jesus king. If God lets him do miracles like feeding, surely God will give him the power to overthrow the Romans. And if he won't do it because of his own free will, we might just have to force him to be king. So that was our second perspective. And unlike the first group of people who only wanted to get something physical from Jesus, this second group of people at least listened to Jesus. They listen and recognize him as a prophet. They've looked a little deeper. Isn't that great? Well, yes, they've sort of got it. No, they haven't. Yes, they've correctly identified Jesus as a prophet. But unfortunately, these people, like the first group, are just using Jesus for what they want. They have taken what they've heard and only applied it to how they want Jesus to be. Can you see what it says in verse 14 and 15? It says they knew he was a prophet and therefore they wanted to make him king by force. They wanted to force Jesus into who they want him to be rather than who Jesus is. At this time of Passover, these people are reminded about getting out from under the rule of a Gentile nation. And although Jesus will eventually overthrow all kings, it's not something that they should be forcing on Jesus. It is Jesus' own timing that it will happen. And again, I think we can learn something from this today. I think too often we hear part of Jesus' message and then shape or force him into what we want. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. During the recent debate on gay marriage, I heard a number of Christians say that Jesus is all about love, so therefore he would approve of gay marriage. Now I feel that although they have heard the message of Jesus' love, which is true, I think they are applying it for their own wants. They, like the previous perspective I mentioned, are taking Jesus' truth and forcing it into their own agenda. How do I know this? Because if we listen to what else Jesus says, it's very clear that he supports traditional marriage. Let me give you another example. I've also heard Christians really focus on anyone who has trouble with sexual sin, sometimes treating people who struggle with this as a second-class person or an extra bad sinner, while ignoring other types of sin. However, this too is making Jesus into something different. By only focusing on sexual sin, they often completely ignore many comments about other sins that Jesus made, including greed and selfishness. This is just as bad as the other example I mentioned. We're adapting Jesus' message, we're forcing it to be what we want him to say and be. And it tends to be something that makes us not look bad, isn't it? We tend to focus on aspects of Jesus that point out other people's faults and leave us looking good. But that's not what truly listening to Jesus is. Jesus' message needs to be taken for what he wants to say, not for what we want to force him to say. It's interesting to note that at the end of the passage from Deuteronomy 18 that the Jewish nationalists read out, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Listen to him. It's not force him to be what you want him to be. And that brings me to the third perspective of this story, where Jesus is God. And this time we're going to hear from Philip, the disciple's perspective. I've been following Jesus with the other disciples for a little while now, and Jesus was really starting to attract some crowds. So we tried to get away from them a little bit, and Jesus leads us up this mountainside, and he gets us to sit down, I guess, to teach us. But then he sees this large crowd arriving. And do you know what he does next? He asks me where to buy food for all these people. Just because I used to live in nearby Bethsaida, how am I supposed to know how to feed all these people? Then Jesus does this amazing miracle. He gets the people to sit down, and after giving thanks, he ends up feeding them all from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. We even collected 12 basketfuls at the end. Now, I heard that some of the nationalists are saying that Jesus is a prophet. And look, I think they're partially right. But I think he's so much more as well. I mean, think about it. It wasn't Moses who fed the Israelites with manna from heaven. It was God. And Elisha fed 100 with 20 loaves. Jesus fed 5,000 or more people with just 5. Jesus is clearly so much more than just a prophet. There are so many references from the prophets about God feeding us abundantly. And that's what Jesus just did. And also think about our setting here. See all that green grass we've just sat down in? Still doesn't ring a bell? How about if I say lay down instead of sit? And pastures instead of green grass? It reminds us of Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is like our Lord. Still not convinced? Okay, let me tell you what happened straight after Jesus fed all those people. The other disciples and I took a boat across the lake, and we're in the middle of the lake, and we saw Jesus. He wasn't on the shore, he was walking on the water. And as he comes up to us, he says, "It is I," which could be like him saying, "I am," which is another way God refers to himself in Exodus. It seems to me Jesus is much more. He's showing us he's much more than just a prophet. He's saying that he's God. So that's our third perspective. Now, although I've just portrayed Philip as having figured out Jesus was God at this point, it was a perspective that the disciples didn't seem to fully comprehend until Jesus' resurrection later. But the disciples did see that Jesus was more than a prophet. And his final perspective is really how we today should be viewing this miracle and Jesus as a whole. It's not ignoring the fact that he's our provider. We are encouraged to ask Jesus for things. It's not ignoring the fact that Jesus is a prophet. He certainly is a prophet, and we should listen to what he has to say. But we can't twist those things into something that would suit us. What we need is this third perspective. We need to realize that Jesus is God. And if Jesus is God, it means we should not only listen to him, but we need to obey him as well. This is something that we need to remember as we head into the new year. There are many people, even from other religions, who see Jesus as a prophet, that his words are good words, and they listen to some of what he has to say. But we need to listen to Jesus' complete message and obey it. We need to realise that Jesus is more than just a prophet. He's God. He's someone who needs to be listened to and obeyed. Now, that may sound obvious, but too obvious, I think, we end up being Christians, that we think all that being Christian involves is going through the motions of listening to sermons, reading the Bible, and coming to church. And listening to sermons, reading the Bible, and coming to church, although good, is not the complete response that God's looking for. Because listening and not obeying, reading your Bible and not obeying, coming to church and not obeying, is not what God wants. God wants you to listen. He wants you to understand, and he wants you to obey. I want to encourage you to come and listen to the rest of this sermon series on John 6 that are coming up in the next few weeks. I've given you just a taste of some of the things we can look out for. Because in the rest of John chapter 6, Jesus himself answers questions, gives more insights, and gives commands based on the feeding of the 5,000. So in the coming weeks, as the various preachers will share with you what Jesus said, I want you to remember today's sermon, that we should be listening. And more than that, as we listen to Jesus' words, we need to obey. So I want to finish with the question similar to that I started with. Who will you be listening to in 2018? Let me just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving it to us for us to listen to. Help us to listen and to obey. Help us to not try to force your word into our own words, but instead help us to be open to what you have to say to us. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.